World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
I need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning out there. Good morning, the 30th day of March. How can that even possibly be? But it is. That means in a couple days, it's going to be April. Now, what it means, 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. So 31 days. We got another day of March. Then it's going to be April. I mowed the grass at Sky High yesterday. That ought to tell you something. That's kind of where we are. And I'm a little different guy. I don't want to make this about me. I'm a little different guy. And what's Ray LeBlanc, what's the theme of Coach Dave Live?
Where did you hear that, and who told you so?
Who told you that, and why do you believe it?
Why do you believe it?
Who told you that, and why do you believe it? And the older I get, the more I realize how much, so much of the stuff that we deal with in our lives is number one, programmed, not true, and deceptive. Much of it in every area. And as most of you know, or a lot of you do know, Spencer, just do this because people don't believe me, okay? Type in again right now, Wikipedia, wherever, how many Christian denominations are there? So I don't want you guys to think I'm making it up. What's that say? Can you read, Ray? What does that say?
There are over 45,000 Christian denominations.
Now, hey, Ray. These aren't churches.
No.
These are denominations of Christianity. So can somebody explain to me how that can possibly be? Now, let me back up a little second, put a little meat under this is what I'm going to jump into here today. I was raised Catholic. And I'm not here to bash on Catholics. My mom was a spiritual mutt. She jumped from church to church to church. She went to church every Sunday, but she'd go to this church for a couple months, and she'd go to this church for a couple months. And when you ask what was my mom's home church, I don't know if she had a home church. She was a mutt. And so I grew up with a cradle Christian. My dad was a cradle Christian, although it's interesting. His dad was Lutheran. I'm sorry, his grandpa was Lutheran. And my grandpa converted to Catholicism to marry my grandma. Does that make sense? Back in the days, the only way my grandpa could marry my grandma is he had to convert to Catholicism. Anybody remember those days? So he converted to Catholicism. My grandfather, his dad, was a Lutheran, a strong Lutheran. And then we were all raised Catholic. So my Catholic roots don't run very deep. I mean, they do in my life because, you know, I was raised in the Catholic Church. But the heritage of my family goes, but not doesn't go back very far to Catholicism. But I was raised in it. And God bless Catholicism. My whole time stop it. Folks, if you tell somebody the truth, you're not bashing something. Will you relax? It's the same thing they do with Judaism. You start talking about Judaism, then you're an anti-Semite. If you just talk about the truth and ask some questions and say, this doesn't make sense to me, you're an anti-Semite. I'm so sick of it. Whether we want to admit it or not, I was raised I wouldn't say we worshiped Mary, because I don't think we worship Mary, but the Catholic Church taught us that our avenue to Jesus was through Mary. I think any other Catholics out there? I didn't know any better. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord be with you. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed the fruit of thy womb. Jesus, Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. So the Catholic Church taught Mary was a mediator between God and man. Now, relax. I'm not anti-Catholic. I thank God for my Christian Catholic heritage. Made me a fear of the, she taught me the great fear of the Lord, right? Yeah, Ray, she dominates the rosary beads. 10 Hail Marys. I can't even do it. One Our Father, right? And now the rosary. Don't you do that rosary? Don't you do the Hail Mary 10 times and then Our Father, I think. Haven't done it forever. Wrote repetition. Anyway, sounds like I'm Catholic bashing. I'm not. I'm trying to show you my spiritual heritage where I come to you. And it wasn't until I was about, it was 1978, January 28th, 1978. So I'd have been 36 years old before I came to Christ and got away from all that religion. All that religion. Pull that back up, Spencer. How many different denominations are there? So people don't think I'm lying to them today. I'm going to get you in here, David Arthur. Hang on a second. 45,000 Christian denominations. Right there, right? Well, our Protestant is highly fragmented. No chit. Christianity is generally divided into six major branches. Catholic, Protestant, Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodoxy, Restorationalism. I don't even know what that is. In the Church of the East. 45,000 different denominations. You could start running. You could start running down and just go to your downtown. If you're in any type of city, big city, larger city, just go downtown and look at a church on every corner, and they're all a different denomination, right? So what's the theme here? Who told you that, and why should you believe it? And I think all of us, depending on our religious heritage, whatever that would mean, we carry a lot of baggage. And I know this, when I went to church, my mama's Protestant, so dad always took all of us to Mass. Because when mom got married to dad, dad was a Catholic, mom was a Protestant. Mom had to swear an oath to raise the children Catholic. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Huh? So my dad always took us to church. But my dad was not a spiritual mentor of ours. I can never remember my whole life, ever, 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 hearing my dad say a prayer. I can never remember dad ever praying for us. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless the Lord and these thy gifts which you're about to receive in that bounty through Christ the Lord. Amen. That's the only prayer I'd ever hear my dad say when we. Anybody with me? So my Christian heritage was very, 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 very shallow. And Ray, it brings me back to the question of who told you that and why do you believe him, right? Because there are 45,000 people, different denominations that don't agree. You say, well, hey, we agree on the basics. Really? Really? So that I throw that as a jumping off point here to what I want to speak to you with about. We're in a real mess here in America because, number one, although all those 45,000 denominations teach that lying is a sin, they all lie. Not women. The people that go there lie. Nobody likes to be lied to. But we've been programmed to just repeat what the man in the pulpit tells us. And I know a lot of good pastor friends, and I'm not being critical of them, but I take what they say with a grain of salt as well, because I think I'm just as learned as they are in the Bible. Maybe I can't dig as deep in some of the areas, but the basics of Christianity, I think I got them down pretty good. Somebody give me a thumbs up. You guys agree with me? I got them down pretty good. By the way, when I go to church on Sunday, the pastor doesn't teach me anything. He just reads the scripture and explains it. Well, I already know that. I already got that. And I'm not saying this to be critical of church. It's just the system we've fallen into. Say, Coach, where are you going? Hang on. I'm going to get you there, I promise. Before I do, I want to give David Arthur. I know David's got to jump off it. I want to give him just real quick. Don't go. You're going to love what I'm going to do here. I'm just telling you. You're going to love it. David sent an email this morning to me. Go ahead and share with us what's going on there, man.
So we went yesterday. So first of all, Saturday we went to a very large GOP gubernatorial event. And got
what
a
was
lot
it, David, David? What was it? A No Queens rally? Was it a No Queens rally?
Yep.
Because when I look at the No Kings rally, that's when I saw a lot of purple-haired old ladies.
That's what it was.
That's all that's out there, folks.
That's all that's out there. We and they were right up the road from where we went, and it was just kind of crazy. But we got a lot of, like, I mean, I had governor candidates coming up and hanging out with me because they wanted to know, like one of them came up and said, I've heard all the rumors, but I want to know what your story is.
Yeah.
And he was almost in tears about three different times.
But David, the reality of it is the average pastor is not going to let you in to talk about transgenderism.
Nope.
They don't want to deal with it, right? They're not going to let you in.
They don't want to do it. But and then Sunday was fantastic. Yesterday we went to the 44th annual Sportsman's Show in Maine at the Augusta Civic Center. There was thousands of people there, over 1,500 people at least, zoned in on this T-shirt, Ask an Ex-Trans, the website. And I tell you what, out of all the men
on the screen, I'm sorry, throw it up on the screen, Spence, if you can. Go ahead.
Yeah, all the men and women, but all the adults, I should say, that walked by and looked at it and smiled and gave me a thumbs up and nodded and a great T-shirt. All of those, and it took a 16-year-old kid that was sitting behind a booth that looked at me, saw the T-shirt, immediately stood up, came right to me, and said, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
And then started asking about his stepbrother who's going down that path, and his parents are encouraging it. And he says, and I'm the only real Christian in my home. And he knew that. He's 16. And then yesterday was so.
Hang on a second, Dave. I got Spencer all confused. I want them to be able to see Spencer on my screen right now. It just says Coach Dave Live. That's all I see, Coach Dave Live. So I'm not sure what we're seeing. David Arthur is wearing a shirt that says "Ask an Ex-Trans." Are you guys seeing that?
Yes. Are you guys just go right to my fake book. You can see the profile picture.
So he's asking. That's not it. He's wearing a shirt that says "Ask an Ex-Trans." Because you have folks. How many ex-trans do you run into? Right. This is important, right? There he is. Ask an Ex-Trans. I bet that kind of hits them in the mouth, doesn't it?
You should see them. And let me tell you this. Though it was so Holy Spirit led. I was in tears before I even got there because we stopped at a Dunkin'. I ran in to get a coffee and it was jam packed. And I almost walked out because I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to drive through the drive through. I'm not waiting 30 minutes. Yeah,
not coffee. Only that, you won't get punched in the mouth from wearing the shirt probably, right?
Well, I didn't realize, I didn't even think about the shirt. And I had a sweat coat on over it, but I had it open. And I noticed people, especially this kid, looking at my shirt. And so I was like, okay, I'm waiting in line. Oh, well, I took my jacket off and I just stood there. And the kid took a picture of my shirt from behind and then walked to the couple in front of me to show them on the phone like I couldn't see it. And the guy was like, dude, that's not even being nonchalant. He knows you got a picture of a shirt. So what? And so I smiled. I laughed. I said, any questions? And the kid said, not at this time. But by the time I made it to the counter, Coach, the guy waiting on me was a trans. He had long, like a wig hair up and in a ponytail under his hat. He had all this girl's jewelry on, long nails painted.
So he was one of the people at the No Kings rally. Is that what you were saying?
He would have been. And I'm telling you, like, he was working hard. He didn't want to wait on me. But he didn't say it. He didn't act a fool. He went over to the one guy and said something. The guy's like, I'm doing this, man. Then he went over to the lady who was the manager and said something. And she was like, just go ahead. So he came over. He says, can I help you? I guess he thought I was going to be nasty and mean and yell at him. And I was like, yeah, large coffee. And I gave him the money and he went to give me money back. I said, no, keep that. I was like, you're working hard, man. You're doing a great job. And, he handed me my coffee and I grabbed his hand when he did. And I said, listen, I was like, you're doing a great job. I was like, keep it up. And the manager looked at me and she just smiled ear to ear. And he was so shell-shocked. He didn't know how to react to that because I didn't have to say anything to him. He knew where I stood. He kept looking at my shirt the whole time I was standing in the line. And the lady behind me said, amen.
Mm.
And the guy on the way out just looked at me and the other lady went to like pat my arm like, wow, you know. And so everybody in there was just silent and moved by
David. David, do you know any other ex-trans?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Because see, that's a movement, whatever you've called, that nobody hears anything about, right?
Sadly, the ones that I know have said to me things like, David, you got to stop talking about the pedophilia and the trafficking and the perversion. You got to stop talking about that. We can't be, you know, a part of that. And so, you know, I'm kind of like,
and that's at the heart of it, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. That's the heart of it. The sexualization is the heart of it.
Well, Dave, David, look, I want to move on here, but real quickly, what did Rob Pugh do for you, Dave?
Man,
Wisconsin
Rob Christian Pugh stepped up. He took on the bill for my vehicle.
He paid your car off.
Yes, he did. And
Wisconsin Christian News.
Yeah. So I can't even thank Rob and Wisconsin Christian News enough. And I can't thank everybody enough for like every little bit that comes in, it covers gas. Like I just spent $105 on gas just to go speak at a committee meeting the other night. You know, traveling in Maine. Everything is 100 miles away. So, but, amen. You know, so just thank you, everybody. But definitely thank you, Rob. And thank you, Wisconsin Christian News.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Coach.
Sure. Sure, Dave. Hey, folks. Coach Dave Live's worthy of your support. We help more people than you even understand. I'm just telling you. I'll bet you this. I bet we help more people than your local church. Anybody want to bet on that? Huh? Anybody want to bet on that? You think your local church is helping people? Or is your local church telling them to go to the welfare? Go to the government and get welfare, right? And we're just worthy of your support here. I want you to know that. Cool. Thanks, Dave, for coming in here. What am I going to do next, Coach? I'm going to go right there. I did that. Hang on. Oh, I got so much. Just so much. That's what's bad about the weekend. I got so much stuff. Let me jump on this real quickly. Point number two. This is my brain just went dead. Friends, hang on. Spencer, pull up Psalm 2.
Catherine Austin Fitz.
Thank you, Catherine Austin Fitz. Psalm 2. Now, I want you to listen to this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves. Now, we just saw these people go out and do a protest. Everybody had blue hair and an earring and a nose ring and a butt ring. They all were there holding signs. Now, you know this, right? If we called out a real rally, of course, we would never do it because we don't get along. A real rally of God-fearing people, we would totally, completely overwhelm. We don't do that. We don't, for whatever reason, we don't believe in public demonstration of our faith. I don't know why it is. If the church turned out, it wouldn't be enough sidewalk to hold them. We all know that, right? But don't miss this, folks. There are kings of the earth. There are kings of the earth. I'm going to say it again. Folks, it doesn't say kings of the countries. And it isn't interesting they said no kings. Well, there are kings of the earth. Who are those people? Well, we call them the deep state. Call them whatever you want to. But the rulers take counsel together. And who are they fighting against? Why, they're fighting against the Lord. And against those of us who claim the name of the Lord. That's the battle. You can call it Republican, Democrat, liberal. Put whatever label you want. Anti-Semite. Put whatever label you want to on it. That's it. The kings of the earth are fighting against the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Why are they against the proclamation of the kingdom of God? Because they have their own kingdom. Yeah, come on now. Come on now. And what are we hearing from American Christians, pastors, pulpits, that we're not to get involved in politics? Tell me you're kidding. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. So listen to what Catherine Austin Fitz says. I got this from Diana Kedem. Hey, folks, I steal stuff off of the Facebook page. When I get up in the morning, I do about an hour of research before I even come down here, right? And you ought to see my email. Betty's number one in sending me stuff. And so just listen. Hey, let me take a deep breath. Do you think Donald Trump controls Donald Trump? Huh? Come on, man. Do you think Donald Trump is in control of the world? Really? Really? You think that? What does Catherine Austin Fitz say here? Go ahead and play this.
So President Trump does not have agency. He's not in charge. So now, you know, he's doing what he's told, but, you know, I said this, I had quite a big fight with Craig Hunter during the campaign. I don't know whether you saw it or not. It got clipped out and went all over the internet. Trump authorized the military and funded them with $18 billion to institute a poisoning of America. It's probably killed a million or more Americans and disabled 5 million or more. That's a mass atrocity, okay? If you look at what we're financing in Gaza, that's a Holocaust. So, you know, Trump did that. Biden did that. You know, now, did they have a choice to not do it? You know, they could say, well, if I didn't do it, they'd kill my family. Or, you know, there are many different reasons. Or they'd show what's really in my Epstein file. Who knows? But Trump doesn't have the power to say no to a whole bunch of things that the MAGA group want him to say no to. And one of the reasons is because everybody in America wants their check. And to get their check, he's got to suck up to the people who are printing the money. So let me explain the problem. You've got $6 trillion a year of expenses, $4 trillion a year of revenues. And that means you're dependent on the bankers for $2 trillion. And what everybody in America wants is their check. So the only way you can get their check is to do what the bankers say, right? So President Trump...
Follow the money. Follow the money, right? So we got to understand, we got to get beyond this facade. That's why they're saying no kings. No kings. Folks, Psalm 2, there are kings. Pull it up, Spencer. Psalm 2, again, just in case you think you're crazy. The kings of the earth set themselves. Now, folks, they're not kings of countries. They're not talking about countries. They're talking about principalities, powers. Ephesians 6, pull that up. Folks, we got to get this. We have got to get this. Keep going. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Huh? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. 11. Is 11? Follow me, brother. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Friends, that ain't Donald Trump. Sorry. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. You understand? I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know, this sounds arrogant. I don't have a stronger Christian than me, meaning I always try to do what the Lord would want me to do. That's what I'm not strong. Not, I don't mean knowledgeable, powerful. I don't mean that. I don't compromise well. I'm a pretty strong Christian. But if they told me they're going to blow the head off of my grandchildren, if I made this move, come on now. How many of you are going to sacrifice your grandchild for this wicked freaking government? And so our battle is not against flesh and blood, folks. And we, for whatever reason, as I often say, the supernatural's left the church. Church doesn't believe in the supernatural anymore. Do you think if we called a Jesus is King rally tomorrow, do you think the people would fill the streets of America? No. No. Are you kidding me? They're waiting for the rapture. Right? So until we understand what this real battle is, for all of us, spiritual wickedness in high places. Spirit, what is that? What does that look like? How about this one? 84% latest poll, 84% of Americans want voter ID. 84% want voter ID. Yet the Republicans can't get it passed. You might know why. I know why. The kings of this earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against their anointed. Every one of those guys is owned. There it is. Gallup found that 84% of U.S. adults favor requiring photo identification to vote. And the Democrats, they're just one side of it. They're against it because they'll never win another election if illegals can't vote. But Republicans aren't going to vote for it either because they're getting their hands greased. By who? The kings of this earth. The American government is not run by the Republicans and Democrats. I hope you understand that. That's not who's running it. And whether it be the Vatican, whether it be Britain, I've saw some latest things coming from Great Britain there in charge, whoever it would be, it's far above, the power is far above what you and I even understand it to be. Darkness, spiritual darkness in high places, high meaning positions of authority. Are you with me? Are you guys, am I doing okay? Follow me? And the church doesn't even get it. Church doesn't even get it. We have Christians who are for homosexuality. Now, can somebody explain that? Could somebody out there, in any rational thought, explain how a Christian could ever be for homosexuality? Or a Christian would be for transgenderism. I got some videos of transgender pastors. Folks, these are deep, 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 dark spirits in high places that are influencing people. Until we get it, we're not going to get it. We're not going to understand it. Yes, Mel, the vehicle of politics is used to divide us. All the Republicans have to do is vote yes on voter ID, and it becomes law, and they won't do it. Will they not do it because they're such principled people? No. It's because the kings of the earth have set themselves. And they're telling these people, if you do this, we're going to expose this. If you do that, we got pictures of you banging a little boy. We got pictures of you banging a little girl. You're going to vote for that, are you? You're going to vote for that nuke? Okay, you go ahead and vote for that. And all of a sudden, those pictures are going to come out. Come on, folks. They're owned. They're owned. And we don't understand it. Can I show you a lie? I'm going to get into something here. Before I do that, I don't want to go a different direction, but I'm going to. I'm going to let David Arthur back in and then Jack. And then don't go away. Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's exactly what it is. It's a spiritual thing. Like, you cannot have the Holy Spirit of the one true living God and be okay with things that are completely against his, even in his intention in creation. And so that's the thing I had to learn, right, about the conservative party. For me to get back in and mingle with these people, I had to learn the conservative party is not the Christian party. Just because they're conservative don't mean they're Christian. But if they're Christian, they sure as hell better be leaning conservative.
But they are, though,
David. Cannot be a Christian Democrat. It's possible.
It's almost, why? Number one, the murder of unborn babies.
Exactly.
I'll never vote for a Democrat just because of that. Never. Ever. Are the Republicans any better? Well, they at least act like they are, right?
Comes down to the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. Two evils, still evil. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay. We need to have a discussion about voter ID. The legal requirement, the lawful requirement for voting is proof of citizenship. And the simplistic understanding of voter ID is going to create a permanent illegal alien voter block, because unscrupulous people like Tim Pound Tim and Jezebel Janet Mills give illegals real ID.
Mm-hmm.
So real ID and voter ID are the same thing. It's a national ID card, and it will create an absolute nightmare. the registrar of voters, when you go to register to vote with your town office or city hall or your ward, those are the people that are charged with, and it's their responsibility that when you check the box that says United States citizen, they're supposed to require proof. And that way, when you go to the polls, they know that that person is registered as a United States citizen. Say, well, we got this simplistic thing, and they did it in Maine, and it's a nightmare. And if they do that, if we let that go through, and Trump doesn't understand it, and 90% of Republicans don't understand it, that they're creating a Democrat voter bloc. Anyway, sorry.
Joe Allen, come on in.
As you talk about the bankers, the Fed chairman last week said, even though he's going to be replaced, he's still staying on with the bankers on the board. Nothing changed under the sun, right?
The kings of this earth are the ones pulling the strings, folks. You understand that, right? Until we understand that, we're not going to get what's going on. Okay, so Trump's not in control. I want to play this just for the heck of it. Pull up number four. Every one of these people that you're about to see, every one of them should be charged with treason. Or what's it called when they lie under oath? Whatever. Listen, just watch this. Go ahead.
On his game. Top of his game.
He's at the top of his game.
Top of his game.
Joe Biden.
Such a consequential president of the United States. A Mount Rushmore kind of president.
Is on the ball. The man knows more than most of us have forgotten.
Was on his game.
I walk into the Oval Office or see him on Air Force One, I have to be on top of my game.
Do you believe President Biden is the future of the Democratic Party? The strongest person to represent Democrats in 2024?
Absolutely.
Biden is extraordinarily strong.
Is the strongest, most accomplished president we've had in my lifetime.
Boldest and strongest American presidents we have had.
Focused and disciplined leader.
Focused. His recall was good.
Focused. He's detail-oriented.
Fitness, his vigor is beyond question.
As messages vigorous a from colleague your private
or
phone.
Boss as I have
I
ever
figured.
Had. Fully vigorous and great mental and physical health.
Effective and capable president.
Fully capable of doing the job.
Capable and ready to serve another term.
Capable.
Seasoned and capable leader.
I have seen a lot of 72-year-olds not as capable as this 80-year-old.
We have a talented and capable president.
Yeah, but I don't think he's capable. I know he's capable.
He is capable, a strong and capable president, was fully capable of competently leading our nation.
President Biden has a photographic memory.
Out of my mind, that the president is mentally fit for office.
But the president's stamina, president's wisdom, ability to get this done on behalf of the American
okay, you
people
get it, right?
Against
you get
any...
It? Get it? Folks, the kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Point number six. We need more of this. This is what we need more of in the American church. Go ahead.
Woe to Planned Parenthood for teaching people it's okay to kill babies in the womb. I don't care if you're a Democrat. That is murder in the womb. See, you're getting ready to leave right now. No, that baby in the womb has life and personhood. For he said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you personally. And I ain't judging you, because I done paid for my fair share of abortions. But the Lord said, whoa, to every man-made institution that makes it easy for people to commit sin. Every legislation by a corrupt government. Every institution, every clinic, every Planned Parenthood, everything in the world, all the people that create porn sites, all the people that do sex trafficking, any entity in the world that makes it easy for people to commit sin, any entity or government in the world that exports sin, any entity or government in the world, watch, that is a conduit for sin, the Lord said to all of them, woe to you. Man, there is a severe judgment coming for everybody who is an export of sin, and I feel sorry for what you're going to endure in the judgment for what you're doing right now in this life.
You know, a lot of people are going to look at that video and
okay, that's good enough. What? Betty, give me a boom. Vinny, somebody out there, give me a boom, right? You don't hear that in churches, do you, friends? You don't, huh? For somewhere along the line, I don't know how it happened, Jesus became non-judgmental. became non-judgmental. Just come and sit on, he's a hippie, just come and sit on my lap. By the way, he gave up his life. They tortured him, and he gave up his life so that you and I would accept sin, be tolerant of it, right? That's the modern Christian message. That's why the kings of this earth are able to pull the crap off that they pull off, because of the ignorance within the church. That's what I see. Okay, I'm all over the place, I know, but this is important. It's important. I've been poking. Okay, go. I'm sorry. Real quickly, number three. I'm not going to show all this, but I want you all to take time if you can later on. It's from Whitney Webb. I don't know if you guys know who Whitney Webb is. Put it at about the 3 minute mark or 2 minute mark, Spencer. And she's talking about, hey, Buckeyes, Ohio State people, Whitney Webb, in this interview with Jimmy Dore. It's an hour and 30 minutes. I watched it yesterday. She talks specifically about New Albany, Ohio, home of who? Les Wexner. That all this stuff that's going on around the world is beginning in New Albany, Ohio, by Les Wexner, Victoria's Secret, Jeffrey Epstein's buddy, right? Come on, right here. So just put it about 1.5 speed, and I'm not going to, she connects a lot of dots. It's worth your time, especially if you're a Buckeye. It's worth your time. Go ahead.
Jump, provoking an affordability crisis in the state while funding for public schools, libraries, and healthcare is cut dramatically, all to keep the corporate welfare engine designed by Wexner running full tilt. Wow. So tell people, how did this all come about? How did this start? Why is it in Ohio and why isn't it in Silicon Valley? And what does Jeffrey Epstein have to do with this?
Well, it's in Ohio and it involves Epstein precisely because of Leslie Wexner. Leslie Wexner has been based in Ohio for a very long time. He's the state's richest man. And as people should know by now, he was Epstein's main benefactor for many, many years. Up until Wexner says 2007, but of course the recent releases show that they continued chummily talking after that date. And around in the late 1980s or so, Wexner decided to basically create what would become his own personal fiefdom in New Albany, Ohio. It was originally just, you know, sprawling farmland, and he with his longtime crony John Kessler decided to basically turn this into you know, Wexnerville, for lack of a better term. And so essentially what they did is, well, it pops up in a few different documents, as I note in the article, but there were basically bribery, what seemed like bribery attempts to get zoning laws changed so he could build this city or town in New Albany. And one of the documents this appears in also alleges that Wexner is linked to organized crime. It was produced originally by the Columbus Police Department, because New Albany is basically now like a de facto suburb of Columbus. It's in that same regional area, which is the Ohio's capital, and Wexner is extremely influential there. And so essentially over time, New Albany became a public-private partnership, where the New Albany Company is in a public-private governing partnership with the local government, the city of New Albany. And later he got Wexner lobbied to get the law changed even more, so it could be a de facto private government that's independent within Ohio, can tax citizens, issue bonds, controls it in a way that the local, you know, regional government cannot. Which is kind of crazy in and of itself. But beyond that, the New Albany Company has become one of the main drivers in attracting data centers to Ohio. So the state is currently fourth in the country for most data centers. It has, I think, 193, but over 120 of those are like in New Albany, in the New Albany area, where that real estate is sold to those companies that are courted to that area, you know, by the New Albany Company that Wexner controls. So he's been making bank off of all of this. And the way that these companies are courted are through these other public-private partnerships, the model of which Wexner created initially in Columbus, but now it's spread to every region of the state, where taxpayer money is used to create these large incentive packages to court these companies over there, even though 75% of them would have relocated anyway. But it's an insane amount of taxpayer subsidies that's being funneled to these people through this network that, you know, Wexner created. And as I note in the article, I mean, we can get into some of the specifics, but the corruption is absolutely off the charts. I mean, it's very crazy. It's like Banana Republic kind of stuff
I encourage you. Some of you aren't interested in Ohio, but you need to listen to this, because it explains to us exactly what's going on. In my lifetime, New Albany, Ohio was a little podunk town out in the middle of nowhere, nowhere, New Albany. And now it is the data center of the world. And one of the things they're doing in New Albany, Ohio, is all these data centers need water. And that's why they've settled there in New Albany, Ohio. Hoover Dam's there, a lot of water there. And it's crazy. So New Albany, Les Wexner, Epstein, this thing's big and it's real, folks. It's real. Two-thirds of America is within an eight-hour drive. Two-thirds of the population of America is within a eight-hour drive of Columbus, Ohio. Two-thirds of America can be in New Albany, Ohio within 8 hours. This is really, really huge. And it's expanding out this way. And I said to somebody the other day, they think I'm crazy. Those of you know where we are here, where I live, right here. Buckeye Lake is right over there. I could throw the rock twice and hit Buckeye Lake. Spencer, can you pull that up real quickly? Buckeye Lake, Ohio. Just a picture of it. See what that shows. Folks, this stuff's real. These are the kings of this earth who set themselves. All right? There's Buckeye Lake. Okay, there's the lake, okay? Now, I live, you see where, there it is. There's Buckeye Lake. Here's where I live, right there where it says 13. Without going too far. I live sort of, Crystal Nail Road. Okay, so hang on a minute, folks. The data centers are going to come after that water. Do you think so, Ray? Do you think so? And there's farmland all around. That's why a guy asked me the other day, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I will. Guy asked me, asked my wife, has anybody come and offered you $6 million for your property yet? I thought, what? $6 million for my property. Now I know why. Water. You see Buckeye Lake? See how long it is? So coming to a city near you. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, so where I live, where we live in Ohio, I'm about half a mile east of the Hoover Reservoir, a very large, very significant reservoir.
Spencer, go ahead and keep making that bigger. Keep making that bigger if you can. I'll show them where Hoover Reservoir is. No. The other way, brother. Go the other way. Keep zooming in. Go up a little bit higher. Spencer, go stop a minute. For what? Yeah, keep going. A little higher. There's New Albany, which we were just talking about. Now, Glenn's over here. There's Hoover Reservoir. So New Albany's got all that water. Do you understand? Yeah. You understand what's going on here, folks? New Albany's tapping into all that water. Hoover Reservoir. Glenn's lives up by there. He knows what's going on. See that body of water? Hoover Reservoir. It feeds all of Westerville, all of Delaware, all of that. Huh?
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. So I'm a half a mile from the Hoover Reservoir, but... and 3 miles from New Albany. So we're between the two. New Albany is a high net worth, upscale village, really.
With palatial
mansions with a lot of acreage between houses. But if you continue east of the village, that's where a lot of the more expensive homes have been bought and leveled. And that's where they're making room for these additional data centers above and beyond the ones that are already there.
Hang on, Glenn. This is important for people to understand. Those who don't know New Albany, folks, it was a little town of maybe 1,500 people, okay? If in downtown Columbus, maybe 20 minutes, all right? So let's get back in here. What Glenn is telling you, folks, these beautiful homes are out there, big, you know, 5-6 acre farms, all that kind of stuff. They've all been torn down. They've been torn down, and this property is being sold to who? Epstein? Who's buying all this stuff, right? Coach, it's not Epstein. It's Les Wexner. Well, that is Epstein. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, and it's not just one or two homes that have been leveled. There's multi numbers of homes, large homes that have been vacated and bulldozed. To make room for new construction for these data centers. It's just
Columbus is becoming the data center of the world. Mark Trump, I don't know if he's out there. He could probably help us on that. The data center. Trump's in there. What do you think, Mark?
Look in chat. Click on that button.
Pull that up in the chat.
I just made this while we were talking, speaking of data. But I basically went back and found its history and pieced it together in a feature-filled infographic.
Wow. So Jeffrey Epstein's ties. Look at that.
Yeah, what that lady was talking about there is dead on. Is there's a method of them taking over real estate. Now, each one has done something different. Like one of them's buying agriculture. Why agriculture, Coach? Why farmland? Water. Farmland needs water, so they can convert the food that we eat to data. That's what they're doing, Coach. It's going to ramp up. There's going to be hundreds of Wexners making money on the data center empires of the world. Okay? That's what's going on.
That's what's going on. Boy, put down. I got to read this later, Mark. So this AI is something, isn't it? Isn't it? So put that in the chat for me so I can grab that thing, would you? And then.
Yeah look at that. Data centers and clusters, it reads.
Data centers and clusters, which is what they're doing, right? And folks, water. Hey, Glenn, or hey, Mark Trump, you know where I live, Mark. What do you think the odds are they're going to try to come out here and put data centers all out here where this water is?
Well, you have the joint of the Mississippi and Ohio River, and you have the conjunction of that just above Memphis. And you also have the Madrid fault line and the Navy maps. So they're going to get some water, Coach. Ask Joseph. They'll get some water soon.
They're going to get the water. It just ain't going to be any for the rest of us. That's all. That's all it is. Okay, my buddy George is all over it. Come on in here, George.
Thank you, Coach. If you type in primary water.
Type in primary water.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's 7 miles down. And it's more than all the oceans put together, more than everything put together. We're lied to about everything. Okay. Primary water.
Is Earth generated juvenile water created deep within the Earth's mantle through geological processes rather than through hydrological cycles? It's limitless. In other words, limitless fresh water underneath us. Is that right, George?
That's right. That's exactly right. And they know it. And they're hiding it from us. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Wow, huh? Wow. Primary water. It is produced deep in the mantle transition zone, approximately. I hate kilometers. What's a kilometer? Clear down where high heat and pressure combine hydrogen and oxygen. In other words, the ecosystem is making water. Victoria says that's 2.2 miles. Proponents claim it is a sustainable solution for drought-stricken regions that never dry up and provide high-quality, often mineral-rich, potable water. Wow. Come on, Jack. God, hey, folks, this was not where I planned on going, but I'm going to continue riding this horse. Go ahead, Jack.
I got a question for some of the guys that might know the mechanics of it. Anytime you have a refrigeration or a cooling system, it's closed loop. You don't have a continuous supply. So you cycle it through, you cool it, and then recool it. I don't understand why the massive amount of water is needed.
It's a conversion of temperature, okay? It converts the water to a heated water and it turns to steam. They have cooling towers, goes into the atmosphere, right? And that's, and some of it's closed loop systems, but they don't work as good. But either way, they're extracting water from the natural environment and reusing it another way.
Why isn't it being cooled geothermally? Why aren't they pumping it down into the ground?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, why aren't they using Tesla Electric? Right. This is going to be a boon for all of the systems. Plus, don't forget about depopulation and all the rest. It supports that agenda, Jack.
Hey, Mark. Hang on. I don't mean this necessarily for Mark. I'm copying this. Hey, folks, just curious. When's the last time you heard your pastor or any pastor mention abortion? And it isn't amazing. See, I think this is the judgment of God. Kings of the third set themselves. Americans are murdering their babies in the womb. And we're having an invasion of third world countries at the exact same time. Can anybody say that? And have you encouraged your pastor to speak out against abortion? The slaughter of unborn children? Probably won't do it because a lot of women in the church, they're having abortions too, aren't they? Didn't want to make anybody mad. George is back in here for more. Go ahead, George. I got 9 minutes.
Coach, I'm sorry. I didn't know my hand was still up. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. How much time I got? Okay. I'm going to open it up. I don't know if I have time. Pull up General Flynn, number one. I'm switching back to you. This is 6 minutes and 19 seconds. Put it at 1.5. Because remember what I told you, Trump is not in control, folks. It is not Trump. I think General Flynn's a reliable guy. By the way, he just won his lawsuit. Did you see that? He won a lawsuit against the American government. They're going to have to give him lots and lots of money. Go ahead, play this.
Probably one of the most powerful positions.
Hang on, freeze it. Folks, think kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Go ahead.
The entirety of the government. Because you are a close personal advisor on a daily basis. You continue to travel with the president. You know, you are there in all of the critical meetings, all the critical decisions for the country. You know, I was incredibly honored. I felt very well prepared. And I was brutally attacked.
The bureaucracy targeted those of us who supported the president's mission of making the federal bureaucracy accountable to the American people.
From the outcome of the election until the inauguration day, there is an entire operation ongoing that the government actually plans for. But now it was a bit different. The transition that we had, it was like we were at war, and it was being made so hard by elements within our own government. So this is now the Christmas holidays. My wife, Lori, and I said, before I go back into the White House, let's go take one last vacation. And so we decided we're going to go down to the Dominican Republic. We went down there for basically a short week, and I ended up having to shorten it because of all of the craziness that was happening up in D.C.
It's an unprecedented strike, the White House punishing Russia in part for interfering in the U.S. election.
The U.S. is ordering 35 Russian intelligence operatives and their families in California and Washington, D.C. out of the country.
So a couple of different phone calls, but one of whom was with Ambassador Kislyak, right, the very famous Russian ambassador. I probably made him more famous, right? Ambassador Kislyak. He looks like a grandfather who smokes too many cigars and probably, you know, sniffs a little bit too much whiskey, right?
Tonight, a Kremlin spokesman is accusing President Obama of trying to spoil U.S.-Russian relations.
Look, Russia, I know you're going to have to do something. I don't appreciate what happened, so I'm being honest with him, because it wasn't our call. It was the current administration's call. I don't appreciate what happened, but I know that you're going to have to take some measures. But let's not have a tit for tat, because we don't want to lose our minds over this and cause some greater outcome, like going to war. But I get a phone call a couple of days later, and he says, message received. They're not going to take any extreme action. Talk about, you know, being able to settle down something that could have gotten vastly worse.
Why do we have a State Department? Why do we have all these intelligence agencies? It's to protect America, protect American interests, and to keep dialogue open between our adversaries, our allies, anyone in between. So the whole idea that General Flynn was doing something wrong was ridiculous. He was doing exactly what he should have been doing at the time. He was the incoming national security advisor. His job, his role, was to help to coordinate that whole strategy across all of government to try to do what? Prevent war.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again.
We were ready for change, and we needed to get things moving. And one of the things that I was looking to do was to dig in and take a hard look at some of the programs that the U.S. intelligence community was involved in that I felt were useless, costly, and corrupt. And in fact, I sat through a presentation with the incoming Vice President, Mike Pence, in the transition headquarters. As we're being presented it, I started asking questions like, well, okay, this program that's been going on for a long time, what has it accomplished? oh, we're going to have to come. I mean, then you get this again. These are senior guys. These are like the top people in the CIA. And they're like this. And they're like, well, we're going to have to come back and we're going to have to give you a separate briefing on that. I ended up calling to have that briefing again. The next time I called for it was there, it was in the first week I was there. And it was me as a national security advisor now inside the White House. I got the same briefing, but this time they sent a whole bunch more people, right? It was like they knew because now I'm starting to dig in. Thousands and thousands of years ago, guys like Sun Tzu, famous military theoretician, studied him. Everybody that's ever served in the military at some level stayed in long enough, as hell, even a lot of people in business study Sun Tzu's Art of War. Well, what does Sun Tzu say about war? War is deception. A war can be a war in the narratives, in how information is deployed in order to manipulate the belief system of people. And so now, instead of, you know, putting a bullet through somebody's head, you assassinate them by narrative. And for a guy by the name of Sun Tzu, who wrote about all wars are deception thousands of years ago, right? Nothing's changed.
Wow, huh? Info wars. Alex Jones was right. Info wars. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Mel, Mockingbird Media, right? We're not getting anything that's straight. Nothing that's straight. Now, I didn't get into what I wanted to get into today. I'm going to give you a little taste here, okay? How much time do I have? I don't have time. Let me wet your whistle on this real quickly. You guys ever heard of the Ethiopian Bible? There it is. Hang on. I'm sorry for the dead spot here. Pull up number 8. I have it right here. The Ethiopian Bible contains 88 books. 88 books. The kings of this earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed. And if you think I'm crazy, this is what I was going to get into today. Pull up number 7. I really think the gateway, the Bible gateway, is a legit thing. And they've got an entire page on the Ethiopian Bible explained why it is, what it is, its history, and why it differs from Western Bibles. Scroll down real quickly. Did you know, friends, that there are 15 more books in the Ethiopian Bible than there are in the King James Bible? Scroll down. It'll tell you what they are. Keep going. Here they come. There they are. Jubilees, Enoch, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Maccabean. I don't even know what that means. Wisdom of Solomon, the Sirach. Scroll on down. Huh? Yeah, broader canon. Jesupon. Synodus, 1st and 2nd Dominus, Ethiopic Clement, Did Escala. The Protestant Bible has 39 Old Testament books used by the Jews, 27 New Testament books. Bible, folks, who told you that? And why do you believe them? Book of Enoch, the book of giants in the Ethiopian Bible. How come we're not getting them in our King James Bible? See you tomorrow.